This election night, C-SPAN delivers something different. Not just the presidential race, but the state races that will decide the balance of power in Congress. No political pundits, no spin, no commercials. Just the candidates, the results, and you. Follow C-SPAN this election night, Tuesday, November 5th, on TV, online, or on the free C-SPAN Now video app.
In swinger. Oh, and that's a goal! The Republic of Ireland have scored! John Egan with his first ever international goal! What a moment for Stephen Kenny!
Full live commentary of the Republic of Ireland against Lithuania this Tuesday on OTB Sports Radio.
And you're very welcome along to another episode of the Football Pod. The sun is shining. James O'Donoghue, you were down in Killarney yesterday. Paddy Andrews, you were in Druids Glen in Wicklow, were you?
In the Garden County yesterday, yeah. Great place to spend a sunny day with the family, yeah.
You had a beautiful, relaxing day, did you?
I did, but anytime I was checking my phone, I was getting a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
Looking at Twitter. We had a good day out, but look, we've loads to get through to today, catching up on all the games yesterday. A massive day of football, obviously, across the country. And some great games, some good results, some not so good results, depends on where you're coming from. But yeah, we've wrapped up the group stages, National League. So,
yeah, it's unbelievable. We're going to get stuck.
The only fella working yesterday, was I?
I was
attending the games.
I was half and half. You were at a match yesterday. You were in Killarney, beautiful Killarney on a sunny day.
You're a workaholic, Jimmy. You always have been. Everyone's always said it about you.
I had to do the business. I was sick and I missed the TG Cahir coverage, but in fact, it was nice to be at a live game in that weather. Like, it was just, it was beautiful to actually go up to a game in the actual sunshine rather than the lashing rain, the wind. Like, I'd be dreading a match, but it was lovely just to walk up town up to a game.
Where did you perch yourself in Killarney? Where were you sitting or standing?
Guess.
The terrace. Facing
Facing the mountains,
The terrace in Killarney is the nicest place in Ireland to watch a game, I reckon. The view, the scenery. Do you know who would have had an absolute... I don't know what he'd have had. But do you remember Uisce Fogarty?
Yeah.
He used to sit there in the press box in Killarney and he'd spend 10 minutes on the view and then he'd get down to the football. But the view was just as important. Like,
James, Uisce joined Joe on Off the Ball about 6 or 7 years ago and they did that. Joe just got him to describe everything around him. The mountains, the hospital across the way where Uisce used to work, telling stories. I'd have to dig it out. It's 5 minutes of gold from about seven, pre all the social media Off the Ball era. I'd have to dig it out and put it out into the GA feed.
He was a Legion legend, my club.
Yeah.
Was he? Oh, right.
Great man.
He was.
To be fair though, you're right, Jimmy. There's not much more picturesque settings when the sun is shining than Fitzgerald Stadium. So for all the players and all the supporters that have put their shoulder to the wheel over the last 3 months during storms and hurricanes and lashings of rain, it was a nice finish to the league now to see some really a lot quicker. A lot of the games you could see the ball was on the top of the ground. It was flying. There was big crowds again. And the sun was finally shining and you can just smell championship around the corner. So
it's way too close. Yeah. It's so close. It's ridiculous. I happened to get all the games on the move yesterday. I looked at the sitting room at about 1 o'clock and I was like, do I want to sit in the shade all day long with all the matches? And I said, no, I'll go in the car. I'll let Sheffer drive. Her mom was with us and we went for a walk up in Galway in Renville. I don't know if you've ever been there. I stayed in the car though for half of it. Had to follow all the action on TG Cahir.
What a romantic.
It was unbelievable. Lads, Red Zone, TG Cahir. Like, you have to get on this. It just showed us a glimpse of what coverage, GA coverage could be like. Mm. Micheál O'Donnell, I don't know what stadium he was in, but he was perched up on his own and he was directing it. So we'd be in Clonus 1 minute. And next thing, he'd go down to the Armagh Donegal game above in Donegal. Or he'd cross over to Mayo, Kildare and Carrick and Shannon. Beautiful scenes all over the country. It was a pity they had no cameras down in Killarney. We heard that David Clifford scored a worldie that we then saw in the highlights later that night. We heard that McCurry was having an unbelievable game. Mm. But like with that Red Zone, it gave you a glimpse of what you could get. You had the different apps, the Scorbio app. You had people following on Twitter. Obviously, the radio coverage is really good as well these days. It just showed what can happen. And it's a pity they didn't replicate what they did for Division 1 or they couldn't replicate it for Division 2 and Division 3 and Division 4 because that would just be a festival of football.
Well, do you know what? We gave the GAA obviously a hard time around the fixtures last week and what happened in Division 4. And it didn't turn out the way a lot of people would have hoped it did in the end. But yesterday was one of the biggest days in the football season, in the calendar, outside of like provincial final days or the All-Ireland final. Massive games all across the country. And you're just thinking, did they market it? I know TG Carr did great work in terms of the Red Zone and bringing that innovation into it, but was it marketed enough? I mean, there were so many storylines across the board, and you're thinking, okay, Dublin Monaghan was on telly, and then obviously the Cork Offaly game, the third, which was crazy. An incredible game, and what a finish in that game, and Cork get out of jail. But there were so many subplots going on across the country. We've constantly said the National League, the players love it, the fans love it. And yesterday is a big reason why. Different stages throughout the afternoon. Teams were going up, teams were going down. And you're just thinking, can they make the most of it? Can they start moving? Maybe have Division 1 games all on later in the afternoon, have all Division 2 on, and like they're going to do with the finals this weekend.
100%.
That all four finals are going to be shown, Division 4 and 3 on Saturday evening, and Division 2 and 1. Wrapping up on Sunday.
All you'd have to do is
with the last day of group games, maybe, and Saturday and Sunday as well.
That'd just be unbelievable. Like, all you'd have to do is have one featured game on TV, have all of those games on at the same time. Like, we made the point last week.
Yeah, that has to happen.
It was such a pity that Leitrim Sligo ended up becoming a dead rubber. And then, off the back of it, there's two big suspensions coming out of that game that might affect both of those sides massively. I don't know what way it's going to go. There's going to be appeals this week. We're going to talk about the Armagh Donegal game as well, and the row at the end of that match. We saw in the hurling, Ozzie Gleeson got a red card. And now, of course, red cards in league affect championships. So big implications could happen there. You know, it all depends on the solicitors that are involved in the appeals process this week as well. But like, as you're saying there, Paddy, imagine if 2 o'clock Saturday, 5 o'clock Saturday, you have Division 3 and Division 4. And in Division 3, like, all eight teams have something to play for. So this like, and you know, there was a bit of a sense of it given to us on the highlights on Sunday night, but not enough. Like Longford Laois, lads, that was a massive game. Like Longford weren't very fancied and you know, hammered Laois, relegated Laois to Division 4, and then you've got Loud getting back-to-back successful promotions under Mickey Hart. You had Limerick beating Fermanagh, you know, a huge win for them to get promoted as well. So just sensational scenes. You even had Westmead beating Antrim too, but they just fell short. So yeah, it was class. It was brilliant having the updated league tables as I don't know. How are you following it, Paddy? Were you on the radio? Twitter. You're following the Dubs on Twitter, yeah?
Yeah. Well, not just the Dubs, just all the Scorpio and things like that as well. So yeah, you're trying to some quality family time and you're just dipping into the pocket every 2 minutes.
So the hard balance.
The Dubs were getting me excited. I thought they were going to pull off the comeback and ultimately falling short, obviously, at the end. But like I said, there were so many games like that. Probably 7 or 8, right down to the wire. And ultimately, the whole campaign was going to be decided for those teams. So, like I said, I'm sure we'll touch on it with Cork and what's happened in Division 1, obviously, as well. So, yeah.
We're going to get into all the games.
I think the apps crashed as well, didn't they? All the live score apps crashed because there was goals going in every ground. There was high profile points. It was just mental. It was carnage.
But everyone was mad to find out, James.
And it proves that the interest is there. I think,
massively.
In fairness, the GAA and TG Carr, who did a great job, in fairness to them. It's a long way now since we criticised the little droplets on the camera.
you're still barred.
TG Carr, best channel. No, but in fairness, they probably didn't know what was coming this year as much because last year was the relegation playoffs. Remember, there was an odd group. So like they were kind of scheduled that way. Yeah. Whereas this year now, or for next year, they'll definitely have a good idea of what's coming. And I expect it to be top notch next year. Like there's so much they can do with it.
Well, look, there's a new rights deal coming down the line. And you just hope that the GAA take some of the open goals that are there. Like whether that's, you know, we learned with the pandemic what happened when you put games up on streams. Maybe make them games available later in the week or something like that. Allow people to go and watch them. Look at TikTok. Look at YouTube. Try and put games up there. You know, like there's so many potential
avenues.
You're
only bringing up TikTok now because the video you put up.
What?
You're just self-promoting here as usual.
Thanks for that, James.
Yeah, but you go every week with taking someone out. It was TG Carr 1 week, Tyrone the next week, your missus last week. Is she still talking to you? Has anything happened since the crash?
What was the fallout?
It's all right, no.
Okay, what happened?
I tweeted the picture. She barely tipped that Audi.
Doesn't look like it.
And made that massive hole in the side of it. Yeah, and she wrote the note on the car and left it there.
Can I ask you?
She paid.
Did you give Christina a heads up that you'd mentioned or that you'd added it on the pod to our huge listenership?
I was so delighted that I had given her a doing that I couldn't actually keep it in. I was just laughing at home for the night. And she goes, "What is going on with you?" I said, No, you'll have to listen now. We got one extra listen anyway last week.
Exactly, brilliant. Yeah.
Fair play.
But she actually did crash the car again since.
Oh,
wow.
No luck.
She tipped a rock in the gap. Now, the gap road is very bad. Do you know the gap of the
yes.
Lock? Our family
yeah. I'm not allowed to drive it. I have to let Chief drive it when I get to the gap.
I actually...
She just goes around like bumper cars, is it?
She does, yeah, in fairness. But I actually had Philly McMahon, Killian O'Connor and McManus in my car one time going up there.
I have to get the photos because this is the greatest photo shoot I've ever seen in my life. The stadium.
Oh, for a launching in all Ireland.
Yeah, it's amazing. Uh-huh,
but I was driving and I had the three boys in the back. I forget who was in the front. The photographer maybe. Or
Philly in the front.
But I was distracted. So I was going way too fast. And the gap road now, if you look down, there's just a fall.
Yeah.
And we went over a hump, but we got air and we didn't come down onto the road. Like we came down maybe a couple of feet off road. Just honestly, a couple of feet off a massive fall. Philly, he was in an awful state. I thought he was going to start crying.
That's what Kerry resorted to with the Dubs back then. Trying to kill off our players.
This is 2015, isn't it?
That's low.
Yeah, it was comedy gold.
So yourself, Killian O'Connor, Philly McMahon, and who's the last
McManus.
One?
McManus
nearly went off the cliff then by the gap down low.
McManus isn't batting eyelid.
No, I believe that.
Cool customer, like. Killian O'Connor was having a rail on the back, was he?
Anyone watching on YouTube is going to be able to see the beautiful photos of James posing with Sam Maguire that year.
Long time ago, wasn't it?
He's holding away from all, holding away from all the other fellas. So, Paddy, what was your favourite promotional advertisement that you got involved in? Because I'll be honest with you, lads, I have searched Paddy Andrews' sponsor and James O'Donoghue's sponsor on Sportsfile, so I do have a lot of dirt on you.
Yeah, you best be honest here. We did a bad one there with Super Value.
Yes, that's the one.
Did you see that? Yeah. It's me and Johnny Cooper.
Kicking out the cornflakes.
What you have to do?
Yeah, we're at the checkout till and we're scanning through items for old ladies and stuff. That's very... Oh, no. Giving them a hand with their shopping into their baskets. Oh, it's very wholesome. Like
that was the Dubs.
Yeah, that was us, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, men of the people.
Doing a bit of philanthropy. Right.
The Dubs didn't do many though, in fairness. No, like kind of kept
the head down. We were offered a lot of stuff that we didn't do them. Yeah.
Do you remember Kerry's one then? Did they do washing machines one time back
Mick O'Dwyer's back in the 80s, yeah. That was brilliant. That was magic. That was one of the greatest ever. Have you ever seen this, Paddy? No?
No.
Oh, I'll have to send it to you in
the next
time. A photograph.
It's unbelievable.
Tops off.
I think they were tops off as if they were
a few of them. A few of them were
landed with the sunburn, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm telling you. James, I have to apologise to you. I wasn't really thinking at the weekend and I kind of got carried away when Jack McCarron lobbed Michael Shiel, as I tend to do.
Going for a point, was he?
Whenever a game happens in the GA, we know he wasn't, Paddy. I've often said Jack Mack has the sweetest left boot I've ever seen, but that's nothing compared to his composure here for the free. Not only is that up a minute, and your old buddy Darren O'Sullivan, who I believe is a fellow Kit Hogue, got back saying that James O'D is not going to be happy with me.
No.
What is it about the lefties, though?
I was going to do silent treatment tonight. Okay. Fair play to Darren as well, because he knows a Kit Hogue when he sees a good one. He was savage left leg.
Yeah.
Actually, we had a lot with Kerry. We had Gooch, Declan Sullivan, Killian Young, Darren.
Declan left?
Yeah. We had a lot. I don't know what it is, but it's just something different, isn't it?
Yeah.
And especially when you're young, you are marked out as being that little bit different just to have that extra skill in the locker. Mm. But as we said before, if you're left-legged, you have to have some sort of a right because
the whole stadium
is going to be saying, put him on his left, put him on his left. And in fairness to McCarron, a couple of times he showed on the left, back onto the right and swung it over with a beaut.
Yeah.
He got two lovely ones in the second half.
He was outrageous last day. That finish, in fairness, was absolutely brilliant. And the best thing about it, I thought, was when it went in and Fitzsimons kind of fell and McCarron had that thought of goal straight away. And even before he had the ball, he kind of gave a glance at the keeper, kind of just over his shoulder. And then when he had the ball, he knew that it was on. And all he had to do was give half a glance before he chipped him.
He slowed down, James, didn't he?
Yeah, he did that kind of composure thing that we were talking about as well. Where
he had enough time to slow down anyway. Yeah. No one else in the whole half.
They were getting back from halfway.
We'll be talking about that. I reckon Mick Fitz was given out to the Dubs, not the referee, when he threw his arms in the air. Paddy, you had Paul Mannion, who was a lefty. Was Jack Mack a kid though as well? No.
Jack Mack was hardly right for her.
McCaffrey, Cluxton.
Sorry, I meant McCaffrey. I meant McCaffrey.
Was left footer and...
McCaffrey's left.
Paul Mannion. No, Jack's not left.
Oh, okay.
McCaffrey.
I thought he was left.
No, he's not. No, he's just really fast. He's not left footed. Now, Mannion was our only forward.
Wow.
And Durbo was kind of natural with Paul, but Paul...
Oh, yeah.
He was our only left footer. It gives a bit of balance, I think, to a team, like... And, yeah, and you're right, it's funny. Like, if you look at the guys, like, so Mannion was one, McBrearty's another. I think of Arjen Robben in soccer. It's like,
yes,
the entire stadium knows what's happening here. This guy is coming back onto his left foot, whatever way it happens. And defenders know it's coming, and they can still just launch scores over the bar. And I remember Mannion had two or three, I think it was three All-Stars in a row, did he? 17, 18, 19, where he was... just in top form, so you couldn't miss. Yeah. Very similar to McBrearty, but McBrearty gets hot as well. Darren McCurry's the same. It's just like
the two of them.
Look at the posts. It's just 50 yards laser.
Mannion and McBrearty in particular, they both love receiving the ball on the sideline as well, didn't they? They'd go out there in space and make their runs in from the sideline. So that's interesting. The Robin comparison, I like that. Stephen O'Neill, that was a fella who obviously had both feet, but Stephen O'Neill's left foot was gorgeous.
He had every shot as well, didn't he? He loved your one. Paddy, with the left, from the left.
Inside. I know. I was on the end of it one time playing cornerback.
Oh, yes.
On the end line.
That was
one of the greatest.
That was ridiculous. Yeah. He scored that from the end line.
It was. He was literally on the end line.
But you remember, it was a poor Peter Kelly from Kildare who he dummies twice.
Yeah. The Superman block. What was he thinking?
Peter Kelly, that's not great there. No, it's like,
I think
what
Peter
is he doing there? That block.
<It's going. Yeah. laughs> that was funny.
Other tasty left boots. Like the Gooch was obviously left footed, right?
Joyce,
am I making that up in my head?
He was very right as well, though. Like, he was obviously left dominant, but you wouldn't see a difference.
You wouldn't know.
Right,
yeah.
Wow.
If he's two-footed, if he has the outside of his non-dominant leg in the locker, like Gooch would just launch outside the rights into both corners.
Oh my God.
He was outrageous.
You were saying Connolly was the same. He just natural both.
It's just natural. You wouldn't know what, you know, we guys obviously, and most top forwards can play with both feet, but
you can
tell when it's not, they might take an extra half a second to steady themselves, or you can see in the technique, where some lads are just completely natural. And Goose obviously was one. Clifford, to be fair, is like that as well. But Connolly with us was, you know, when he can take 45s off the ground with their bat foot.
Unbelievable.
Like, it's just a technique thing. Yeah.
Well, I threw it up once.
Who else? Joycey,
right? I'll run through a few here. I threw it up, Kieran McDonald. I threw it up on the football pod _GA Instagram page. Kieran Mack, and that's from a dub. Kieran McDonald, Paul Finley, great shout. The Dazzlers getting a few. Loads of McDonald love. Gooch, Daniel Goulding from Cork. Yes, he's obviously a left footer.
Kieran Sheehan, Cork.
Kieran Sheehan, yeah. We never really saw the best of Sheehan, did we, over those years?
Oh.
He won
only glimpses.
He won one in 10, didn't he?
He did, yeah. But
he's in 10, yeah.
Australia. He's retired, but Jaff Fallon, that comes in from Kyle Gilmore. But Fallon was more like Jack McCaffrey in terms of, like, he was
the
speed. Like,
he's more famous for the dummy than the left peg, I'd say, yeah.
One of my favourite lines from A Year Till Sunday. Jaff Fallon, the fastest man in Ireland. One of the old boys in the pub. I loved it. Who else we got? Loads of shots for Clifford, Stephen O'Neill. Jack McCarron as well, more of a two-footer, but Dear McConnelly had a sweet left peg. That's Owen Morgan. Connor Sweeney, Niall Fitz. Yeah, remember that clutch score he got against Limerick back in 2020. Peter Hart has to be up there. Yeah, quality left footer as well. Kevin O'Neill from Mayo. That was a quality left boot as well.
Was Stephen McDonald left? Am I thinking that up?
No.
Jeremiah Great.
I don't think so.
He wasn't okay.
Right.
He's a writer. Okay.
Shawty Furlong from Wicklow as well. Boss of a full forward. Conor McGregor come in with that one. Have a look at the stats, the scoring he did for Wicklow, Boston and New York.
Was Kevin Cassidy...
Cassidy was a left, wasn't he?
He launched an outside the left for Donegal against Kildare in that quarterfinal.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, the one from an extra time that just about had the distance. Yeah. Does it make a difference?
11, wasn't it?
Does it make a difference if a team, if you're analysing a team and they don't have a left-footed kicker, does it make a difference to how you set up defensively?
No,
because surely it changes how they're able to play the ball in, no? Shanita, you worried about that? You weren't playing in the backs.
No, I switched off when those meetings went on. Daydream, thinking about holidays.
But I mean, you see, why would it? Because you can kick from both sides. Like Paddy loved that one with the right from the right, but a left legger would just be as comfortable as kicking from that angle.
Yeah.
So, the left leg, so, or from that spot with the left. I don't think you'd set up differently.
Okay.
But I think a left legger, say if probably only 20% of players are left legged, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Between 20 and 25. So if the defender is marking you, 4 out of 5 times he's going to be marking a right legged player, and now you're thrown in there on the left. I used to like playing left corner forward because never would the right corner back be marking a lefty at 15. Like 15 is a very right legged position. Your left leggers are always 13. And I used to love being over there in the 15 spot.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it just threw a spanner in the works. And you could have that paddy shot with the left from the left, or if they bought that dummy, then you could tip it over with the right.
Yeah.
From a closer angle. But
I love
don't think you set up differently defensively.
The paddy shot.
Yeah, I like that. I'll patent that.
I like it too.
Maybe Stephen O'Neill, yeah.
Yes.
Good right, lads. Did you you went for the Superman dive on that one as well, did you?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he did. I just let him shoot. I was like, this fella is crossing it or something. I didn't even try and block him. Jeez. No, I knew my lesson. I knew I was in the presence of something special there.
Right, lads. Well, we're 20 minutes into episode 10 of the Football Pod. We're 10 episodes down. Paddy, me and you, this is 40 together. James, number 10. Congratulations, you've made it this far. We're still going.
Jimmy. Well played.
What a weekend of football we had. In Division 1, Donegal stayed up. They beat Armagh 114 to 113. Very, very interesting game, but more so on what happened afterwards. We don't know what's going to happen. There's going to be, you'd imagine, a bit of a fallout at the CCCCCC this week.
It hasn't got, I don't know what, maybe I'm wrong, but it doesn't seem like it's got as much coverage as the Armagh-Tyrone game. Now, we know the Tyrone-Armagh game was on telly at the time, and there was that video of what seemed like the kid was in the middle of the row, which was trending as well and all over WhatsApp. But at the time, we all agreed it's not a good look. You don't want to see it in it. But I think the fallout from it was, I think we all questioned it, how you could look at a row like that and pull out one Armagh guy and 4 Tyrone guys from David Goff. There was obviously none of that yesterday, but the GAA upheld all of that, which we expected that they would because they want to stamp this out completely. But you look at the clips from it from League Sunday last night. I think it's Fergal Kelly, the Longford linesman, is right in the middle of it. The referees are all standing there.
They're watching.
And they're nearly just taking a step back, looking at exactly what's happening. It will be interesting to see what suspenses are going to be dished out around that, because those guys obviously play each other in 4 weeks' time in the championship. Yeah. It is like the Tyrone lads missed out on one league game in February. It will be a massive disappointment to any player to miss out in the first round of the championship, particularly a game that big, Donegal and Armagh, where the winners of that are going to be fancying themselves to win the Ulster Championship. So it was silly for players to get involved in it that close to championship, but I think fair is fair. They were very swiftly dealt with by the CCCCCCC after the previous round this year. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this week. But I do think players are going to be sweating this week because it looked, there was a couple of slaps in that one, probably more so than throwing Armagh one. So
there's a few, but it's just absolute utter chaos. Like, there's subs coming in as well. I thought it was interesting that there was no, I know it was after final, there was no red cards dished out. Obviously the referees are going back to make their notes, bring it to the referee's report to the committee, and we'll just see what the fallout is there. But
who was the ref? If Goff was there, it would have been 6 reds each.
I don't know if it was. I don't know if it would have been. I feel like he might have. Oh, maybe. I don't know.
But the difference, like, the difference with this one was, and maybe because it hasn't got as much coverage because of this, is because there was no red cards. It was so shocking to see bang, 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 red, 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 red.
Yeah, yeah.
In the Tyrone game. It was like, whoa, that hasn't happened before. Whereas you've kind of seen a brawl so many times, but yeah, it's, you are kind of sick of seeing it now, aren't you? Do you know, it's just kind of not.
Well, it's a load of headlocks again, do you know? Like, there's a couple of digs this time, but there's a heap of headlocks again. You think, you know, they might have learned their lesson.
There's always one or two fellas in the panel who are waiting for a brawl.
Yeah.
Was that you?
That was my time, and I go. Like,
who was the guilty party in Kerry? Go on, throw somebody under the bus here.
There was never. Darren, yeah, in fairness to Darren.
Darren, Anthony Marr, Donaghy. Few lads I can name if you're not going to name anyone.
We had one or two scuffles with Donegal, all right, in Tralee. But kind of nothing major. I don't think there was ever. Oh, do you know what happened? Neil McGee, he grabbed Alan Fitzgerald's finger and dislocated it.
That's a bad one. Yeah. That's nasty.
And McGee, Alan,
come
Alan
on, you're better than that.
Just jabbed him into the nose, broke his nose. So there was blood. So the two of them had to go. Two of them got sent off.
Jesus.
That's a bad one when they grab your finger. Like, I've been on the end of that. That is. Oh.
It is. And the next time they came down, then there was a bit of trouble, but.
That kind of that lingers then, doesn't it? Whatever happens kind of lingers, carries over to the following year. Paddy Neelan was the referee from Roscommon. So we'll come back and we'll touch on that game in a little while. The other game, it was in Carrick and Shannon. Mayo obviously had no home games in the league this year. Mayo were into the league final. Yeah. James O'Donoghue, last week you were tearing your hair out and you were asking the question, why don't Mayo want to win the league? Well, we'll get to see it next weekend because Kerry are taking on Mayo in the league final. And that is going to be very, very interesting to watch. Mayo pull this one out of the bag, 220 to 18 points against Kildare. 50 odd minutes on the clock. Kildare only a point down. They look like, you know, they might actually stay up if they pull a win out. If Jack McCarron had missed that free at the very end of the game in Clonus, Kildare would have stayed up and Monaghan and Dublin would have both gone down. But Kildare, after a decent Division 1 campaign, have been relegated to Division 2. Again, Jimmy Hyland, Ben McCormick kicked 4 points apiece. And for Mayo, Ryan O'Donoghue shot the lights out again, 1-4. Jason Doherty kicked 5 points, missed the goal chance. Still no sign of Kieran O'Connor. Jermaine O'Connor, we hear, has had a recurrence of a hamstring injury and they lost Brendan Harrison during the week as well. So it'll be interesting to see what side James Horan picks out. We might preview that game a little later. So Mayo into the league final, Kildare relegated. Kerry were already in the league final. James, you're in this game. We're going to get more in depth on this, but a late winner for Tyrone. Dazzler shot the lights out. So I want to hear a bit about Darren McCurry in a couple of minutes. And then, as we've been talking about already, and we're going to launch off of this game, Monaghan 3-13, Dublin 1-18, a savage game that was won at the Det and relegated the Dubs. Division 2, just to run through the results. The most important game, I suppose, was Offaly and Cork. And this was a crazy game of football. Like, some of the mad decisions have been highlighted afterwards. Some of the crazy rules that were brought in place and enacted. Once it was enacted mistakenly in the first half, I believe, where Paddy Dunnigan received a pass back, but it had actually gone to a defender before it went back to him. It's this rule in Gaelic football that if the keeper kicks it to a corner back, it's the Stephen Cluxton rule technically, isn't it? That if the keeper kicks it to the corner back, they can't give it back to the keeper. So in the first half, Dunnigan gives it out into the left wing, but two defenders switch passes. Then I think actually defender screws a pass. It was a poor pass that he was aiming to another defender, but Dunnigan collects it. He goes flying and the goalkeeper goes flying down the wing. And Maggie Farley, who's the Lions person, calls it as a free. I think she had thought that it was that it had gone straight back to him. So that could call up seemingly that she had called that out. And then the second half on the other side, Dunnigan, a bad back pass to him. It rolls out over the end line. And he could have let it go for 45. He keeps
the
it
centre
in.
Centre back, he's calling the centre back.
Centre back isn't listening. There's hardly that many people. There's hardly that many people there. Like, how can you not hear?
It's too late. And it's like,
so I feel sorry for Paddy Dunnigan. And he did put it up on Twitter. I feel like he deleted it afterwards, but the Irish Examiner published all his quotes. He had a fair rant after the game about the officials. Yeah. And but it's tough.
I think it's a good rule.
Yeah.
Kick it out to the back and back to the keeper. It's like, oh God, you know, it's just, it's boring to watch. So yeah. I think it's a good rule to make them play to another player.
Spoken like a true corner forward, Jimmy.
I want to see it go out so it can come in fairly quick again. Yeah. I reckon Sherlock would have snapped over 45.
Yeah, he probably would have.
It would have been harder, but... But,
yeah, it would have been a way tougher kick, but I would have backed him for it. It was up to the centre-back, really, to come and bail him out, but there was a bit of communication error there, really.
Yeah. There's a few Offaly books as well putting clips up of Anton Sullivan getting nailed by his shoulder to the face by Brian Hurley and not getting free. Like, that stuff kind of happens, doesn't it? Like, it kind of happens on both sides. But, like, seemingly, apparently, Offaly felt very hard done by that game afterwards. In fairness to John Mahan, Offaly are now down essentially in the detaching cup. We'll come back to it a little later. He had some good quotes about the Tatchin Cup that we'll come back to. But he really thinks it's going to benefit Offaly enormously. Playing with a younger side, it's going to be easier for us to bring in through this crop that we've got here. I was involved in that B Championship back in the day with Clare and Fermanagh, where we went on and we won it. And it certainly gave us a bit of momentum to build and get a bit of experience. So look, hopefully everyone treats it the way John Mahan is planning to treat it, because it could be a very, very competitive Tatchin Cup, depending on how teams go. So the other games in Division 2, the Rossies. Paddy Andrews knew they were going to get promoted, I feel, at the start of the year. Give them their credit, Paddy. They hammered an understrength Galway side. Understrength in the fact that Joyce made a number of changes. A couple of players actually put their hands up for a spot, actually, for Pádraig Joyce the weekend. But Roscommon won 120 to 115. Donny Smith and Conor Cox shot the lights out for the Rossies. Derry then obviously needed a result to go their way. They bet Mead let that one go, 211 to 116 in Navan. And then Clare, they were pretty much safe anyway. They bet down 214 to 19. In Division 3, this is where the chaos was. Limerick, unbelievable story. They bet Fermanagh 116 to 14 points. They're promoted alongside Loud under Mickey Hart. They bet Wicklow. Loud now back-to-back successive promotions under Mickey Hart from Division 4 up to Division 2. Unbelievable story. And Kieran Downey scored 1-4. So I'm not going to mention their main man who kicked 7 points, but Kieran Downey scored 1-4 this week for Louth. So fair play for picking up the mantle there. And the other big game, Longford relegating Laois. Like, it's been a tough couple of years now for Laois football.
If they did a decent start with Billy Sheehan. Like, they got to the Auburn Cup final, obviously. Yeah. They gave the Dubs a good game in that. And you were thinking, okay, Laois, bit of impetus after, obviously, last year with Mike Quirk, and it kind of didn't end well from them. And I think Billy Sheehan's got to come in and get something out of them. Yeah. And it looked like they'd started the season that way, but that's majorly disappointing for them, for a proud football county to go down into the fourth tier now. That's a big setback for them.
Mm. It's a slippery slope, but as you see with Loud, if you can rebuild and get that bit of momentum, you can bounce straight back up. Antrim, obviously, were a team that we had our eye on. Westmead bet them, but they just didn't do enough to get promoted. Westmead won that game, a late comeback from Westmead. And in Division 4, this was all sewn up on Saturday night. The two 2020 provincial champions, Cavan and Tipperary, both secured their way out of Division 4, a division that was full of chaos this year. Carlo drew at Wexford. Cavan hammered Waterford. It was Waterford's biggest defeat of the year. Tipperary held off London, 114 to 12 points. And then on Sunday, in a game that ultimately didn't matter, it was Sligo 216, Leitrim 210 to round off the regular season of this year's National Leagues. And just to mention the finals this weekend, all four games are on at different times. At 2:30 PM in Croke Park on Saturday, we've got Cavan and Tipperary. At 4:45, it's Loud versus Limerick in the Division 3 final. Sunday, 1:45 PM, Roscommon versus Galway. And at 4 o'clock on Sunday, Kerry versus Mayo. So we're going to pick our winners for those games in a wee while. We're going to take a quick break here on the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue, and we're going to be back talking Monaghan Dublin in just a sec. You're very welcome back to episode 10 of the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. There's one place we're going to start our hard analysis this week, and it's the fact that Dublin have been relegated to Division 2. Paddy Andrews, don't cry.
Don't worry, I won't. If you're all right.
Has this been coming?
I think it was an uphill task once after round four. When they lost to Newbridge, it was going to be a massive ask to win all three of their final games against the three Ulster teams. They made a good fist of it. There's no doubt there was improvements from where they started the National League, a very dark night against Armagh 2 months ago, but ultimately, on the face of it, they played 7 games. They've lost 5. They can't really have any complaints about being relegated. Nearly, like the other team that's gone down with them, Kildare, probably feel a little bit hard done by themselves. Mm. I thought they overall probably had a better campaign and left a couple of points behind. When you look at Kildare losing to Tyrone and Oma that day when Tyrone had the suspensions and the game was kind of won for Kildare. They look back on that and they'll know that. But in Dublin's situation, over the course of the spring, they haven't been good enough in the games. They can't really have any complaints. Key areas that, like, defensively, they've conceded 11 goals in 7 games.
Yeah.
Another 3 goals yesterday. If you look, contrast that with the team at the top of the table, Darren McCurry's goal yesterday was Kerry's first goal conceded from play this season through the McGrath Cup in the National League. That's a massive difference.
The Paddy Tommy effect.
Perhaps, maybe it is, but from Dublin's perspective, if you concede 11 goals in 7 games, they are up against, and every game, 2 against Armagh, 2 against Mayo, 2 against Donegal, they got away with 3 yesterday. They nearly scraped away through, but I think defensively they've been far more porous than they would have hoped to have been. Up front, I thought they really struggled through the early start of the league. We touched on it in previous podcasts. There was no penetration. It was very passive. They were struggling for scores. They were struggling for goals. That improved a little bit over the last couple of weeks. There's no doubt about that, but still nowhere near the level and the standards that Dublin would have been used to. So defensively and offensively, issues. And the other big thing, and we said this after the first night in the National League, where there was leeway for Desi Farrell because he needed to find players. He needed to use the National League to unearth, give 7, 8, 9 guys a run through these games. And if they lost games, that's fine. You would take that on the proviso that you unearthed 2 or 3 gems. And then we sit here coming into April and the championship is around the corner and you're looking at that National League and their World Cup campaign. And if you were naming Dublin's 15 players in the championship to start, I don't think there's anyone new. In my opinion, now maybe other people might think differently, but if I'm looking the 15 guys I would expect to start their first game in the Leinster Championship, there's not anyone that's come out from these games. Lee Gannon, I think, has had a relatively positive league. I think he could see game time certainly off the bench, but you're looking at Comerford and Gall, Merchant, Fitzsimons, Davy Byrne, Smalley, Johnny Cooper, James McCarthy, Brian Fenton. It's the same guys. I haven't seen anyone put their hand up yet. So that's nearly even more of a disappointment for Desi, outside of losing those 5 games and being relegated. So a disappointing league, and there's going to be some serious soul searching from the players and coaches now over the next couple of weeks going into the championship.
Yeah. Of the 32 counties, Wicklow are the only other team to concede 11 goals. No other team conceded more. And the only team that can score less goals than Dublin were Tyrone, who scored 3. So obviously Division 1, it might be a bit more difficult to score goals in other divisions.
Tommy, that's the thing. Yeah. And I know that there's positive, there's been an improvement over the last couple of weeks from the pretty poor stuff that they've gone through in the first 3 or 4 rounds of the league, with players coming back. Merchant, you can see yesterday, just brings a different dimension, more energy. Costello coming back as well. A lot of people are hanging their hat on Conn O'Callaghan coming back, and without a doubt, he will make a massive impact. But I think that's short-sighted if people think that's going to be the answer to everything. Conn, without a doubt, is a massive influence and one of the best players in the country, and Dublin need him back. But that's not going to solve all the issues there. There's areas all over the pitch where Dublin are need to improve on, and need to improve on really quickly, because the championship's in 3 or 4 weeks' time. And defensively, if you just look at the goals, there's 3 unbelievably avoidable goals all through the centre channel. We touched on it. Teams are targeting the Dublin full back line. We expect that. But McCarron's goal, okay, great finish. If you just look at that clip, they're the only 2 people in the whole Dublin half, Fitzsimons and McCarron.
Yeah.
And you can say Fitz, he kind of gets knocked to the ground and he claims to the referee, he knows himself, get up and get on with it. Just play to the whistle, try and put McCarron under pressure. Michael Shields is caught out again. Great finish by McCarron. But you're looking at the cause of that. McInnesby gets a ball in the middle of the pitch. It doesn't even need to be a good kick.
No.
When there's that much space, there's no defensive structure, just put it in anyway. Yeah. And there's not a lot Fitzsimons can do. He's one of the best defenders and has been over the last decade. But if you're one-on-one in an entire half,
like McCarron's behind him, the ball is hanging there.
It's like that should not happen. That is in it's an impossible task for defenders to shut that down. We touched on it in the Kerry game, Dublin Kerry and Tralee. Same story for Darren Moynihan's goal. They get a sideline and it's kicked in. And again, it's Clifford's on his own inside the whole 45. You're like, how, where's the defensive structure gone there to allow that to happen? It's not the fullback's fault. They're the result of what's happening out the pitch. And if guys are going man-to-man, which Dublin seems to be doing, yes, that's a brave tactic to use. But there's also a sense where you've got to look at the defensive structure as well as looking after your own duel. And I don't think Dublin have done that well enough. The stats will show that. Mm. Conceding 11 goals.
You mentioned Armada, the Armada game. Like that ball in from McInnesby was similar to the Grugan ball in Tony Hill in that first night in Armada. So like, that has been a team
to be that good a ball, Tommy. When there's that much space, literally just put it in anyway. You know, just dump it in. And it's too easy. That is way, way too easy. And that's a structural thing. That's like, what's the defensive shape meant to be? Then you look at the other goals, like Sean Jones goal in the first half. It's just way too much. Right down the centre channel.
Cooper,
it's
a brilliant bit of drive from Sean Jones, but he twists Johnny Cooper inside out.
But even if he too does, easy. where's the support and defenders? This is happening in the D, in the centre of the goal, where it should be the most populous. And guys are just looking after their own men. And it's too late then. And it's far, far too easy. And that's been a symptom through all the games in the National League. They've conceded 11. They probably could have conceded more, if we're being honest, particularly in earlier games. That's an area that needs to be addressed before you even get into X player X or player Y is coming back or maybe getting a bit sharper up front. But that was a real glaring bit yesterday, those scores conceded.
Just on that play, do you know, for McCarron's goal, you'd be thinking an excuse for them would be we were chasing the game. But having only one at home with the goalie and 13 up the field doesn't contribute to your attack either.
No.
Like, you definitely don't want that many bodies in your attack, because all you're doing is bringing Monaghan men back as well, and you're just creating this just ball of players around the area you want to attack. So if anything, if you're trying to create space up front, holding fellas back in position can nearly be an advantage to your attack, whereas they seem to be trampling on each other's space up there.
But I don't even think that's the case. I don't even think it was an excuse to say they were chasing the game. I think from looking at it, they've decided we're going to go man-to-man with our defenders, which is fine, and we're going to follow our forwards everywhere, which is brave in a way, but you're sacrificing your shape then. Smart forwards and smart teams will manipulate that, and we used to do it a lot in our team where defenders would go man-to-man on us, and ultimately you just start dragging them out and creating lanes and creating space. And there needs to be a balance. Yes, you want your defenders to win their individual battles. That's a massive part at the top level. But also, everyone has to be aware of the structure of the defence. That you can't just turn around and say, well, I have my man here on the sideline. He's not doing anything. And there's one-on-one inside the entire half inside. That is not good defending.
But
there needs to be a balance. And Dublin, from looking yesterday in particular, but throughout the league, that's a consistent team where teams are getting far too easy access into the double full back line with kick passes. And if they're going to have any say in the championship, that is a key area that needs to be rectified going into the Leinster championship.
It's very clear. Yeah,
it is. It's obvious. It's obvious in the games.
The last time Dublin conceded 3 goals in a competitive game,
Donegal 2014.
There you go. James, can we talk Monaghan, or do you want to have one more word on Dublin before we move on?
Just on Dublin's defence. That's just interesting that Paddy picked up on the defence leaving it one-on-one, because I would say the only way you can go man-on-man as a defensive unit is if the opposition has at least 4 scoring forwards in position up front. If they're coming back to field, what's the point in going man for man? You're leaving yourself with absolutely nothing. Fair enough, if they're up front, brilliant. You have some bit of a structure. But just leave them off. Leave them go back down the field and pick them up. Pick them up when they come past halfway, worst case scenario. But even better, 45 or 50 yards out. Do you know? I just think...
And that's the interesting thing, Jimmy. It's not... You can't say it's inexperience, because, like, Dublin had experienced players on the pitch. You would... normally you could use that as an excuse for younger teams where they're kind of just, they're getting caught out and they'll pick that up and they learn. Dublin have Fitzy, Johnny Cooper, James McCarthy. Dublin are experienced. They know this. So it was just so interesting to see it happening there. And it's a bit of a consistent team throughout. Like they'd actually improved, I felt, in the couple of games leading up to yesterday with the wins over Tyrone and Donegal. But that's been a consistent thing over the seven games in the National League. And like I say, when you're conceding 11 goals and what's the worst defensive record along with Wicklow across the four divisions, Tommy, that's, before you even get into any other stuff, that is something that needs to be shored up big time going into the championship. Because if you're giving teams a head start with conceding two, three goals a game, it's a massive ask to turn it around. And the reality is against the top teams, you're not going to be able to turn it around. So that's first port of call among a list of things that Dublin are going to have to try and improve over the next couple of weeks.
Well, it is the 30th of April the next time we'll see the Dubs in action. They're playing the winners of Offaly and Wexford in the Leinster quarterfinal. So I don't know whether John Mahon's writing off his ability to upset Dublin already by saying that Offaly are guaranteed to be in the Tailteann Cup. Obviously, if Offaly, who are now in Division 3, get to the Leinster final, they will avoid the Tailteann Cup and they'll be in the Sam Maguire. But yeah, just on Monaghan, James, before we move on to Killarney, because I want to get you on Killarney. What a decade of football they've had. 2013, they win Division 3. They win the Ulster title the same year. 2014, they win Division 2. 2015, they get to Division 1 semis and they win Ulster. 2016, they're sixth in Division 1. Fourth the following year. Third the following year. Sixth the following year. Sixth the following year. Last year, Division 1 relegation playoff. And this year, they stay up. So it's injury time. In injury time in 3 years in a row, Monaghan have saved themselves. The ultimate clutch county. Get them out of Clonus, is what I say. They are unbelievable when it comes to Clonus. What a county. The resources that they have at their disposal, the size of the county, they've been punching above their weight for quite a while. So,
I think that they had they had a couple of All-Ireland finals within their reach as well.
Yeah,
they really did.
The Kavanagh tackle. The
McManus. The begging at a late shot against Tyrone that he probably should have passed.
Oh. And he had never scored at that stage for Monaghan. And he decided to take on that shot. Were they one down or level at that time?
I can't remember, but I know
that. Tyrone that bet them both times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They lost to Kerry in a couple of very tight games in quarterfinals.
That's great in seven. Times. You're thinking of back in the Rory Woods days. Tommy Freeman. Paul Finley, yeah. Tommy Freeman.
Yeah. They had a great team that time as well.
That was Banty's first run, wasn't it? Back then.
Yeah.
McManus was
staring wing back actually those times.
Yeah.
Yeah. He talked out wing back on Donica Walsh a couple of times.
Yeah.
But Monaghan, in fairness to them, they always come up in those late days. Yeah. And when you have a kicker like McCarron, it does give you a chance. Because all you need is a free that's any bit kickable and him or McManus.
Do you know what I loved about that?
Over
you. You know what I loved about that? It's the last minute.
Over, didn't think about it.
It wasn't even that, James. He actually, you can hear him, Osquaga, going to Rory Began, Fonso Alia. I'm only joking, just in TG Carr, you can hear it. But like, you know, he tells Began to stay at home. And like, maybe if it's another 5 yards back, you're giving it to Began, even though he had the distance. But like, just had that composure in that moment. Mm. He's obviously been building himself to take these frees.
It's
honestly really, just on the pitch as well.
The carbon copy last year, Tommy, against Galway.
That was some play as well, yeah.
Save end. It's like, last kick of the game. To save them.
He sold a dummy that day too, Paddy, didn't he? Just before the shot.
He did. And
the eyes. Yeah.
To Monaghan, we touched. It's so interesting. Like, they were diabolical 7 days ago in Newbridge. And they're absolutely blown out the gate. Yeah. The week before, they were full value for a win against Donegal and Bally Buffet. So they've been just hit and miss. But when you get to McClonus, you're right. They're such a hard team to play against. They give you nothing. They're smart. They've miles on the clock. They're an experienced team.
That's the thing. Like, you're seeing boys like Carl O'Connell, Fintan Kelly, the same boys. Drew Wiley was back for the first time in a while, right? Yeah, you've got the two Hughes brothers, right? And then, like we've been saying, McManus needs players to come with him up front. So McCarron is coming along. McCarthy's coming along. But now some of the young kids, Banty is really giving time to. Michal Bannigan's had a great league campaign.
Very good.
Sean Jones got the goal yesterday. But what about Gary Moen and his mullet? There's something about this fella that I just know.
He's a wrecking ball.
He's a gangly wrecking ball. He's just, like, he gets his paws on that kick out to eventually knock him down before the free. I think Fenton's going for it. And he just throws himself into the huddle, gets a paw on it. So he's a handful, isn't he?
real awkward.
He's a foil for McCarron and Manus, isn't he? You would have had it, Jimmy, obviously, with Donaghy inside that. He will draw attention from defenders. He's not as silky as the two boys, obviously. He's not a sharpshooter, but he will cause havoc in there. And you could see it, like that last play, he wins the free, you know?
Yeah, so true. Right, let's go down to Sonny Clarney. James, Sarah O'Donovan, she's currently coaching with the Dublin Camogie side, tweeted that Darren McCurry was worth the entrance fee alone down there in Clarney this weekend at Fitzgerald Stadium. Talk to us about the Dazzler.
He was head and shoulders above everyone. And I actually don't know how many possessions he got, but every time he got it, something happened. And it was interesting. I don't think he ran 3 kilometers. Like, he stayed right in next to the goal, right in the sweet spot of the game, and just waited and waited and waited patiently and saved his possessions and just did the business when he got it, which wasn't that often. But every time he got it, he was so sharp. And it probably is. The turn in him could be even the weather. I mean, it was top of the ground stuff. There wasn't a wind blowing or a gale blowing. There wasn't Hail Mary balls going in. It was nice, measured ball in front of him. One hop, he was out in front, sharp hands, and he got shots off over the shoulder. He got him off where he bought himself a bit of time. He just put on an exhibition. And the thing is, something happened right that game where Kerry had, they have the best man marker probably in the country for marking that size player. So Tom Sullivan will be small, strong, fast. So
a great job on him last August.
Usually marked the McCurry type player. But Jack put Tom on Canavan, who has a similar build, to be fair. And they put Dylan Casey on McCurry. So you can think of it, was Dylan Casey being tested in a big game on someone like McCurry? Or did Jack decide last couple of weeks, Canavan seems to be number one for Tyrone at the moment, we'll put Tom Sullivan on him? But whichever it was, it didn't pay off for Kerry, because in fairness to Dylan Casey, he tried his best, but he hasn't had probably that much experience marking that quality of player just yet. And McCurry made hay while he could. And Tom, in fairness, beat Canavan, I thought, pretty comfortably. Canavan didn't get too many balls, but McCurry did all the damage.
He won that mark. What a goal.
Yeah.
Straight after the penalty, Morgan puts the ball down.
Straight after the penalty. The crowd was still humming. And next thing, Morgan just launches one. I think it went over Kilpatrick, and Canavan just catches it in his tummy.
He didn't even jump. It just kind of landed on him.
But what was clever was he looked straight in. Yeah. They've done that. Like, they have practiced that. They have done short kick out, short kick out, short kick out, bomb it long, straight inside. So they've done a lot of work on it, like the All-Ireland final last year. So as soon as Canavan had it, he was looking for McCurry. McCurry just read it better, caught inside, went straight for the jugular, and the finish. He kind of did a punt slash outside the left finish into the stanchion. Oh, my God. I was in the middle of the Kerry crowd, and Kerry not to play for, so it wasn't... It wasn't, you know, the hammer blow, but I was applauding it.
That was probably the loudest you were all day, was it?
No, honestly.
That'd be great content for the pod.
All day. As soon as McCurry got the ball and he did something, I was like, McCurry's on it. Next thing, he'd do it again. I said, McCurry's flying. Another one. Everything was just so class.
You said it to me earlier. 15 possessions, you reckoned. That's not scientific, but you reckoned 15 possessions and he scored 1-7.
1-7. 1-2 from play, a mark, which you could say is from play because he wins it himself, and a couple of very tough frees as well.
We've been saying it, and the conditions over the last 2 or 3 months, or the last 2 months, and actually don't really suit a player like McCurry. And he wasn't shooting the lights out in the earlier games. The Tyrone were probably struggling as well, but conditions were heavy going as well. That's probably the first. And he gets a brilliant goal a couple of weeks ago against Kildare and helps turn the tide in that one. But that's summer football yesterday. And you can see straight away, you're right. You can tell in the first couple of balls if a lad is on it or not. And you can see he was. Like the Dylan Casey thing, like I said, Jimmy's probably right. Like, if that's a championship game, if that's in Crow Park in the summer, Thomas Sullivan is picking up McCurry. Don't think there's any two ways about that. So Jack was probably having a look there, and probably didn't work out as he'd hoped. But the interesting thing with Tyrone, similar to Monaghan, they've been kind of hit and miss throughout this National League. But there's no two ways of it. They've four key players that make Tyrone tick. McCurry, McGeary, Myler, and Peter Hart.
Mm.
Those four guys, when they play well, Tyrone are one of the top teams in the country. They're unbelievably important, and they're when they're in form. And likewise, all Tyrone's poorest performances throughout the National League, those guys have been slot. Myler, McGeary reached unbelievable heights last year in the championship to help Tyrone win it. They'd been very, very slow to get going in the league. But once they click into gear, those transition players for Tyrone, Tyrone are a completely different animal.
Yeah.
And it's no surprise you could see those guys were the key players yesterday and they get the result down at Killarney.
I'd argue as well that those two boys you picked out, Myler and McGeary, they're at their best when they're given a very detailed job to execute. Just final one on McCurry. He did a brilliant interview last week with Thomas Niblock on the GA Social podcast. He mentioned that if Mickey Hart had been there the following year, he wouldn't have gone back. He wouldn't have been playing with Tyrone last year when they won the All-Ireland. Some interesting quotes there. But the most interesting part that I felt he said was, forwards need confidence. It's one of the biggest attributes you have. Without confidence, you will not take on the shot, try the dummy. For a forward, without that, you are an average player. It was definitely tough when he felt he didn't have the back, and he felt like Mickey Hart wasn't talking to him enough. He felt like when things weren't going right for him, he was maybe being whipped off, but he wasn't told why. I know when I'm playing well and when I am not. It kind of feels like Logan and Duher have allowed McCurry find his form again this league campaign. They've left him on. They haven't taken him off. He's done his business in every game. He's done a little bit here and there. And now he seems to be raring to go ahead of championship.
I think they just showed him a bit of love. And like we said earlier, the kind of goalies are a different kind of mentality. Corner forwards are probably the same.
Mm.
Like you're kind of relying on them to come up with those clutch moments and do it at the important times. And if there's any bit of doubt, a fella might just say, you know, I might leave it to someone else. But McCurry doesn't seem like, you see, when his mentality is right, he's just different gravy. But I will say a shout out to Peter Hart as well, who I thought was really, really good. Like for Tyrone, now, to be fair, the atmosphere around the stadium, right? There was a nice atmosphere. Do you know, I think that it wasn't like a championship bloodbath kind of crowd at it. And I think the Tyrone have another couple of gears to go as well. I don't think they really turned up for playing an absolute do or die match. I think that they have two gears left in them, which was interesting as well. But Hart turned up and really dragged the boys through with Kilpatrick.
Really?
And if you ever noticed, in the big moments, Kilpatrick is always there as well. He always wins a big possession, or he always makes a big tackle, or he shows up in the six-yard box, in the opposition six-yard box for a goal chance. He seems to be just tipping around those big moments of games, and he's a really valuable player for them.
He's developed, hasn't he? Like, from coming in last year, kind of nearly his breakout year, and all through this National League, we're saying like some of Tyrone's more established players have kind of been a bit hit and miss through the National League. I think Kilpatrick is a massively influential player for Tyrone. He is a major find for them, and he's developed his game into one of the top midfielders in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're thinking back last year's All-Ireland final, poor old Andy Moore, and saying Tyrone got a struggle around the middle, and the boys answered it there. But Kilpatrick, that's what happens if you win an All-Ireland. Honestly, like that, you're talking about McCurry has confidence, but all of those players, it's like we've reached the pinnacle of the game. I can do it. You nearly prove to yourself you can do it. And you can see the confidence in his game. He's a massive player for Tyrone in all aspects. So you're right, James. He pops up on the end of things in the square. He's winning kickouts. He's a key target for Morgan on kickouts.
Yeah.
And he's a major find for Tyrone over the last 18 months. He's developed into one of the, not just their most important players, but one of the best midfielders in the country.
James, Kerry didn't need to win that game, but they put out a relatively strong team. Interesting to see that Gavin White got minutes again. I think Jack has a decision to make in goals. He's kind of flip-flop between Shane Ryan and Shane Murphy. I'll be honest, can't really tell the difference between the two of them.
they are so different.
The same name as well.
It's just the name. It's the name that gets me. It's just
I think that I think that there's been an issue made of the goalkeeping situation, because not many teams rotate goalies. And there is a debate to be had. Who is benefiting from rotating a goalie? Definitely not the two goalies.
No.
So therefore your team aren't. So either he's not sure or he's rotating, but either way, I think he needs to pick one for the league final, and that's it. You've got to stick with him because that man needs the confidence. He needs to be, I'm Kerry's goalie and they're backing me. Just like with McCurry. They need that backing. A goalie's a lonely spot. Do you know? You're on your own there.
It's so pivotal in, we're talking about modern Gaelic football. It is massive. It's not just the old school, I was a good shot stopper. Kickouts are one of the most important plays in modern Gaelic football. And if you have a guy, you look at the best teams like Began, Morgan, we had it with Cluxton. It's just a total confidence for the whole team. Everyone knows what he's going to do. The midfielders know it. It's a set play for an attack.
Yeah.
That's cornerbacks, halfbacks, everyone knows where they need to be. If you're changing the goalkeeper every week, you're right. There's no way the goalkeepers benefit from it. They're kind of thinking, if I make one mistake here, I'm gone. But they've such an influence on other players around the pitch and they can't get used to their habits. So you're right. He's kind of used the National League to go between boats. I always personally thought Shane Ryan was probably slightly better on the kick-out front. But look, I think you're right. He'll make a call now on Sunday for the league final against Mayo. And that, you would imagine, would have to be the guy going into the Munster Championship.
That will be interesting. And that is a game we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes. We're going to come back to it briefly. A bit of news, not really breaking it. The Southern Star and the Examiner have both reported it already this week. We haven't got full confirmation from the Munster Council, but it looks like May the 7th, Kerry Cork is going to be moved to Killarney. So poor Cork are going to lose home advantage because there's work being done on Parky Rin and seemingly the playing surface in Parky Cuí won't be ready after the Ed Sheeran concerts in April. So 1995, the Munster final, 1995 was the last time Cork beat Kerry in Killarney. So what they looked like a difficult...
They won't be Kerry anyway, but why... Actually, they were saying they were going to put this in Parky Rin.
Yeah, that was the plan.
You could Parky Rin only
11,000.
11,000.
Yeah, oh, tough. We were saying it about Antrim Cavan there a couple of weeks ago. Antrim getting home advantage in Carrigan Park. You should get your home advantage.
No. That's fine until they put Ed Sheeran on. That was like, you can't put Ed Sheeran on ahead of a GA match if it's a GA stadium.
Yeah. It's a head scratcher, that one.
I think that it was wrong. Like, the main match in the football calendar for Cork is Kerry. And they goes, nah, Ed.
I have a feeling, the hurling's been affected.
Ed's
as
got
well.
Some great new tunes out
there. I couldn't believe it. But yeah, bring it to Killarney.
That'll be a good day out. Get us tickets for that one, Tommy. We'll go down and do that live.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Saturday evening in Killarney would be lovely now, yeah, in May. They're not going to, look, Cork did well to turn it around and win the two, basically must win games over the last couple of games against Down and Offaly. They are not going to be Kerry.
But lads, they had absolutely no chance in October, November 2020.
I am going to go on record here. Kerry going to win that game and win it well.
James, are you not on the panel that day?
No, Hammer. Do you know what? It was a shock result, but it was one of those where if you were ever going to get caught, it was going to be that day. The weather, the kind of build up was so Corker poor, Carrier brilliant, and it just didn't match up. Do you know, it was just psychologically, I think Kerry took the eye off the ball there, which was a learning curve. Okay. I don't think it'll happen again. But if it's in Killarney, there is absolutely...
Let's hope it's a sunny day in Killarney, so. On May 7th.
Well, that was Mark Keane got the goal, didn't he?
Mark Keane nudged Tommy Walsh at the back post. It was Luke Connolly who took that wild shot that dropped to the back post. Yeah, so
that's a Dublin favourite. All those shots gone short for goals. Mannion enjoyed an old flicking.
Oh, he loved that.
Brogan enjoyed a flicking.
He did.
Mannion did like a full extension whenever he did it. Like his whole body just extended.
That was 13 he got one, yeah.
It was like a tennis serve.
Yes, exactly. We're going to touch on Mayo in a couple of minutes when we get to the league final. As you mentioned earlier on, both Loudoun and Limerick are promoted. It is worth noting, Paddy, that I think it's the first time since the '70s, I think I read, that there's no Leinster team in Division One next year. Like, that is
unbelievable, isn't it?
Not a good sign for the province.
No, it's not.
That's been coming.
It has. Like, this is kind of the result again of what's kind of gone on. Meade had a period where they're in Division One and they seem to be making progress, and that's
stagnated.
It stalled most certainly after losing that game in Newbridge last year. They're down there. Kildare, like I say, I think are probably the most hard done by. I think they've been impressive at times throughout the league. They could have nicked the first game against Kerry in Newbridge on the opening weekend of the league. They definitely will regret not winning up in Omagh that time. And then Dublin were kind of flying the flag, and they've obviously, without a doubt, come back from the lofty peaks over the last number of years as well. But
yeah,
for Leinster to not have any team in Division 1, Laois relegated as well, awfully relegated. Louth are the only team going in the right direction.
I know.
Under Mickey Hart. But it is incredible. It is, but it has been coming. It has been coming in the province. There's no two ways about it.
I'll be honest, I didn't go back and count up our predictions last week. So apologies for not doing my homework.
That's all right.
I would like to get your thoughts on what way you think this would get it. We did call awfully, awfully, awfully. Like, we did call awfully, awfully, awfully.
We're very close with that one.
Cork pulled it out of the bag, James. Like, Stephen Sherlock, I know we're saying they have no hope against Kerry, but that was a massive result. You saw the celebrations after the game for Keith Ricken's side. That was huge for them to pull that out of the bag. A game like that could do a lot for football in the county. Like imagine they went down, the apathy that might set in around football once more. Like, they've had that little buzz with the under-20s winning the All-Ireland. Colin Mahoney scored a brilliant early goal. We're starting to see glimpses from him. Sherlock has come true. What did you make of the Cork Offaly game?
James, isn't that what you'd said? First, I'm looking at Cork, what they needed. They didn't have anyone to support Brian Hurley.
Yeah.
They were going to struggle for scores. And Sherlock has been a revelation over the last number of weeks. And then Colm O'Mahony as well coming into it. They're the pluses for them. But in saying that, they've scraped to stay in Division 2. Is that Cork's level? It was important that they did it. But that's...
Some of the scores in that game were sensational. Keane Kiley scored one off his left foot, I think, to equalise it. Matty Taylor, who we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, was the man behind Shane Walsh in that huge run for that unbelievable Walsh goal. He scored a savage point off his left foot. Niall McNamee kicked 7 points for Offaly. Hurley again kicked a couple of points. That was a massive result, and drama right the way throughout it. We spoke about the controversies earlier on. So,
but you know what, Tommy, about that? What was good was the Cork got such a high off winning it. If they had just kind of gone, oh yeah, we stayed up, I'd have been even more worried about them. Do you know, the fact that they actually showed a bit of passion and pride that they actually achieved something this year, and psychologically they can take that onto the championship. Whereas if they just kind of said, oh yeah, we won, I would say their mentality was all over the place and it needed some serious changing. But they showed a bit of unity, showed that they're fighting for something, and a couple of forwards that catch fire can give you a chance. Kicking points papers over every single crack in your team. If you can kick enough points from those angles, like the ones that Sherlock is swinging over at the moment, like they're not 100%ers by any means. You know, they're kind of just on the range. Hardly has a couple of bombs in them. If they can get their scores up, it papers over a lot of problems.
Yeah. Paddy, I don't know if you've noticed this, but Stephen Sherlock reminds me of Andy Moran. Socks up. The way he strikes the ball, not the quickest, but supremely accurate. He just has a bang Andy Moran often. So have a look at him the next time. Let's just get your thoughts on the Division 3 and 4 league finals this weekend. Loud are 8-11 on to beat Limerick this weekend. Do you see that going any other way? Division 3? They have been flying.
I will back Loud in that one, yeah. It's brilliant for Limerick to kind of come out of the pack. It was very tight, like Division 4. Those two divisions, it was... You know, coming to the final couple of games, there was three or four teams you're thinking, like Antrim were in the mix. Westmeath made a late charge on it as well. But for Limerick to get promoted, I think is massive for them. But I think consistently over the league, you would expect Loud, who have just had massive momentum since Mickey Hart has come in, to be fair. What a job he's done. I'd fancy them to win that one.
Yeah, like Limerick had tapered off a wee bit. They had two defeats, I think, to Loud and Westmeath halfway through the league, and then they pulled it out of the bag against Laois, who got relegated. Obviously, it was a massive win. Like, Paul Kinnerk has a big hand
in the background with the Limerick Footballing Academy. Seemingly, there is a big generation of Limerick footballers coming to the fore over the next couple of years. So they're going to be very interesting to watch over the next little while. It's a long while since they were, what was it, 2003, 2004 Munster final, where Dara O'Shea is saving Kerry, catching that 45 under the bar. Josh Ryan, Gaelic grounds. Josh Ryan shot the lights out, 1-6 for Limerick this week, and Huber kicked 4 points. So Loud will have to keep them quiet this weekend in Croke Park. That's going to be an interesting game to watch. Cavan Tipperary. Cavan are heavy favourites. Tip weren't looking good early on in their Division 4 campaign. It looked like they were in a bit of bother. It looked like Sligo or Leitrim might catch them, or even London. But in fairness to them, they turned it around. They're missing a couple of big players at the minute. No Michael Quinlivan. But they got the job done against London in that last game.
Division 4 was funny. Like, if you look, I think we all said preview in the league, if you look back, that Cavan and Tipperary are going to come out of that division. Should be straightforward enough. That's what's ultimately has happened, but there's that does not tell the full story there. Both of those teams probably struggled at times and found it trickier than they would have hoped to get through. And you're right, Andy doing a massive job with Leitrim and Tony McIndy with Sligo as well. London obviously getting 3 wins on the board as well. It looked like there was a fairy tale coming there. But ultimately, I think that just a little bit of experience has got those two teams where they realistically, they shouldn't really be in Division 4, but they've got out of it in the end. And it'd be interesting to see that game on Saturday evening. Like I said, two provincial champions from just 2 years ago battling out in Division 4. It's a unique situation they were in. Like, they've managed to get out of it in the end.
Yeah, I think it's interesting the Cavan are such heavy favourites, but they have been playing quite well. Patrick Lynch is the fellow we're keeping an eye on in Croke Park this weekend. He's been very impressive for Cavan, a young forward, and Garrow McKiernan is still shooting the lights out too.
Did Cavan have 3 relegations on the spin?
Yeah.
That was mental.
Like, it was Wicklow. Yeah. Wicklow bet them in Avonlea last year in the playoff, in the relegation playoff. Crazy.
Like, they were a strong Division 1 team.
They were competitive.
Horrible draw, Cavan away.
Yeah.
But I'd nearly fancy tipping Croke Park there to stir up a bit of trouble there for Cavan. Yeah, I think the tip have some nice forwards there. They'll probably score heavily. It'll be interesting to see if they can keep the boys out at the back.
A Munster double on Saturday is nearly 8-1. Not that I'm encouraging that. In Division 2, Galway Roscommon. Right, so Galway favourites. Galway were flying. They put out a shadow team, we'll say, at the weekend. I highly doubt Porrick Joyce is just going to, like, he's hardly going to worry about Mayo that much that he's not going to show his hand this weekend. Like, he's going to put out a strong team this week. Just before I ask you for your thoughts on it, we've had correspondence from a Roscommon man. Jerry Keegan on Twitter. Tommy, surely we'll have to discuss the Rossies next week, in particular if we get to the Division 2 final. All we've got from you this season is Paddy saying we're a soft touch for the Dubs. I then reminded Jerry that Paddy actually called Roscommon the West Brom of Gaelic football, up and down every year.
Look at the tables.
We're still unbeaten. And if we beat Galway, we will top Division 2. Enda Smith is arguably the most underrated footballer in the country. Jerry. Now, Jerry, you're right. Roscommon are the only unbeaten team throughout all 32 teams in the league. You can see it on the GA League tables, the Twitter account. They've got the all 32 laid out. And Roscommon, with their 2 draws, are the only team with no defeat. And just before I get you on Roscommon here, James Connor also got in touch on Instagram. Roscommon back in Division 1 next season. It's obvious that they're too good for Division 2 and not quite good enough for Division 1. They have plenty of fine, talented footballers. Is it too simplistic to say that they lack a bit of bite or a mastery of the so-called dark arts? Is this something that can be coached for them? I remember Colin O'Rourke saying many years ago that the Rossies are a group of lads you'd love to see your daughter bring home. What does Roscommon need to do to be more competitive in Division 1?
He's just answered the previous tweet.
Do we just leave it at that?
You'd be very worried if she brought home a group of lads.
I know a few of those Rossies lads. I wouldn't be getting my daughter to bring home them, though.
Football wise, Roscommon, have you seen anything different over the last 7 or 8 weeks?
Well, Anthony Cunningham is an experienced coach.
Yeah.
And a lot of those Roscommon players have been around the block for the last 7, 8 years. They do have, never in question, they have lovely forwards. Smiths, Murtas, these guys, they can score. But I never get the sense in a tough game that the Rossies are going to dog it out.
They've done it in kind of finals.
Are they turning the corner? Maybe they are. I would reserve judgment on that. The way the season's gone for them now, they're into Division 1, but they're also on the good side of the Connacht Championship draw as well. So they'll go in and give full whack on Sunday. I 100% think Pádraic Joyce will as well. Like, they're not playing Mayo for 3 weeks and showing their hand. Mayo and Galway know each other. You know what Galway are going to do. You know they're key players. You're not really showing your hand. So I expect that to be... I expect Galway to win that. I think they've been the best team in Division 2. If you look at the Rossies, that last play against Derry in Hyde Park is ultimately what's probably cost.
Is that Derry. Not dark arts? Is that not dark arts? Is that not a bit of mastery?
That's just terrible refereeing. That's terrible, terrible refereeing. Because Shane McGuigan, no, I know he missed a penalty yesterday in Navan, but that referee makes it the correct call there, and Derry probably win that game, and it's Derry who are up. But Roscommon, they have been impressive. We kind of tipped them that they get out of Division 2, but I haven't seen anything yet that would suggest that they're ready to take the next step. Like someone like a Monaghan, that type of team where they win a game like that, where they just know they know a way to get over the line. But I expect that to be a good game. Two good teams to watch. Like I said, there's plenty of good footballers on show. That's never an issue with Roscommon and Galway. But I think Galway have been the most impressive. They steamrolled Division 2, really. No doubt it. They kind of throw the game at the weekend. But I expect a full team from Pádraic Joyce there and set them into the Mayo game in 3 weeks' time, full of confidence.
Yeah.
Do you see, Tommy, that Derry were fourth on that list of teams in the country. Like, they were unlucky, unlucky not to go up. Like, yeah. they're only behind Galway, Cavan, and Roscommon.
Yeah. Very unlucky.
They could have easily gone up. But I think, do Galway have Shane Walsh this weekend?
Yeah. They didn't
have him the last 2 weeks.
I feel like, I think so.
I think he gives them, the something different.
Yeah. He's
without him, you know, you'd nearly fancy Roscommon nearly to give him a good rattle. But with Shane Walsh, you think that Galway will have too much?
Like, you have to have somebody to do a job on Shane Walsh. So one of your best defenders, you have to have a little system around Shane Walsh. Like in saying that, lads, Roscommon have never, ever been fancied in any of their Connacht title campaigns. Like, they won one in 2019, won one back in 2017. So they have dogged out results there. Neither of those games were... Like, they bet the big two, I think, in both of those years. They bet Mayo, they bet Galway in both of those years to win Connacht.
Like,
so.
But the way it falls from this year, like, the Galway play Mayo and... One of the big teams is going to be taken out there and the Rossies just have to beat one of them.
Yes. Yeah. And in fairness, Anthony Cunningham, he completely freshened up his backroom team this year. He brought in Noel Dunning, former London manager. Derek Duggan, one of the Roscommon greats from the 90s. Luke Bree, who you might know from DCU, Paddy. I don't know if you know
Yeah.
Vincent's and a Sligo man. Okay. Peter Tormey from Westmeath. So he completely freshened up his backroom team. So I don't know, maybe there is something different about Roscommon and we just haven't seen it yet. So that'll be one we're keeping an eye on at the weekend. Okay. And then the big game, Kerry, that's going to be a good game, yeah. The big game, Kerry Mayo. What way are we leaning? Kerry, in my eyes, Kerry are the standout team so far this year. They are the favourites for the All-Ireland. If you can have a favourite.
Jimmy, what do you think? Kerry the best team so far tonight?
I think the Kerry, to be fair, have been probably the best team. But that said, they got a nice kick up the backside against Tyrone, which they probably needed. A nice few questions for Jack to answer this week. And Mayo will throw a lot more questions. So I think that probably over this 8 or 9 days, Kerry will get more answers than they have over the last 7 or 8 weeks. You know, over losing to Tyrone and then league final against Mayo, two invaluable games for him. But I think Kerry need to win. I think there's a bit of pressure on Kerry. After losing to Tyrone, they won't want to lose two on the trot, especially to those two, because it's probably Kerry, Tyrone, Mayo, your three favourites for the All-Ireland, you know?
The Dubs are still 3-1 for the All-Ireland. Just
would you still have Tyrone as... For the Ulster Championship, would you have Tyrone as favourites for the Ulster Championship? It's wide.
I'd nearly give him a better chance of winning the All-Ireland.
What?
You know, you give them the same chance of winning the All-Ireland as you would win Ulster.
Yeah.
Like, they could come through the qualifiers and it would get them into tip-top shape. You just wouldn't know how they come at it. But I think that they've turned the corner. I think they're looking good again.
Tyrone and Ulster action on the 16th of April.
Yeah.
Like, it's so close.
Fermanagh, isn't it?
Fermanagh, then the winners of Tyrone, Fermanagh played Derry. The winners of that game play the winners of Monaghan down in the Ulster semi-final. So that's the side of the draw that they're on. On the other side of the draw, you have Antrim Cavan and Donegal Armagh. So,
it's a good championship, lads, isn't it?
It's going to be class.
That is
like, realistically, you're probably thinking seven teams could win the Ulster Championship.
Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be so much sorted or laid out for us by the 1st of May when I think all of the quarterfinals will have been played.
Dubs will be in the Tailteann Cup, will they?
No, not this year, Paddy. You can't go down. You can't go that far this year. Don't worry.
You mentioned for Sunday, do you reckon Kerry will win this game? I have a sneaky feeling for Mayo. If Mayo go
I think it's very 50-50.
Like Mayo this year, lads. I have to say, I didn't think I'd ever say it, but
yeah,
still, it's nearly Dublin waiting on Conor Callaghan and the difference he can make. Mayo with Killian O'Connor coming back. Now, I know it's hard to know when he'll be back.
So hard to know.
What kind of shape he'll be in. They've lost Tommy Conroy as well. Like, Ryan O'Donoghue is very similar to, I feel, what McCurry's done. He's had a brilliant year under his belt, and you can just see he knows he belongs now. He's so confident. He's leading the Mayo attack. And you're thinking, imagine Conroy just unfortunate with the injury. Jason Doherty's back. Killian O'Connor is the comeback.
They still need somebody with O'Donoghue. Like,
To win the All-Ireland, they're going to need Killian O'Connor to come back. Jason Doherty, like you say, is like a new player for them. But yeah, they need Killian coming back and reaching even close to the levels he can get to. And then they are right in the mix. I think they've as good a chance this year of winning the whole thing as they have in any other year over the last decade when they've come very close as well. But I hope they could go and put the full team. You never know what may happen in the National League. I know Jimmy, you were slating them last week, but I would imagine they'll put out the full team and go to take Kerry on Sunday, because I would say I think they're the two best teams in the country at the minute.
Yeah.
I put them above Tyrone, above Dublin, obviously, throughout what's happened in the spring. And it's brilliant to see if both teams go hell for leather in Croker. Big crowd, good weather. I think it sets us up very nicely for the championship.
Do you know what's going to be interesting? This is possibly the All-Ireland final as well, isn't it? The way it pans out. That if both teams win their provinces, they'll avoid each other in the semi. And meet in the final.
I think Galway give Mayo a rattle though in the Connacht Championship as well.
They will, 100% they will, but so they could play three times, right? They've played already in Tralee. They have this game. So this is the one where you learn everything for a possible All-Ireland final. So we spoke about what Mayo were going to do with Clifford. Mm-hmm. You know, are they going to put Oisín Mullen back there? Or are they going to do more of a team defence?
But like, do you save that move?
No, you can't. You can't, because it might not work then. Okay. So you have to see, does it work?
It's like you're getting a free go and testing it out here.
You are. And what do Kerry do with Ruan, who was outstanding in Tralee? You have to put someone on him. Are they going to do that?
Jack Barry or Dermot O'Connor?
Yeah, someone's going to have to look after Ruan, because Ruan is so dangerous attacking. He just has to be looked after.
Yeah.
Tom O'Sullivan and Ryan O'Donoghue.
Yeah.
That'd be a good battle.
It will. Keegan, who does Keegan go on?
We've a question in on Jason Foley. He's in the team of the week this week. He had a good performance on McShane in Killarney. He's playing well.
Yeah, he was brilliant. In fairness to Jason, he's gotten better and better and better every year for the last 4 years.
And is that football-wise, or is it physicality? Or
physicality as well as football, definitely. He kind of came in first. He kind of hadn't filled out yet, but he's put in a lot of work. He's physically a specimen. We spoke before, he's a 200 meter runner. He's an athlete. Like, you don't beat him out. You do not beat him out to the ball. If the ball's kicked in 50-50 in front of you, he'll get a hand in. And he seems to be dealing well now with the higher ones. He did well on Rian O'Neill. To be fair, McShane, he didn't get any change out of Jason the last day. So McShane needs a couple of weeks as well just to sharpen up and get his best form back, because Tyrone will need him. He's still an outrageous player, but he just needs to sharpen maybe a tiny bit.
Who would have marked you usually in A versus B games in Kerry training? I know it obviously changed over the years. Who?
Tom Sullivan, probably the last year or two. He was right up there, in fairness, with the rest of them. You know, with
Riggett later on, one of the weaker lads, though.
And who would have marked you around
centre forward there, please?
who would have marked you around 13-14?
Mark Shea, Shane Enright.
And like, where was, when Tom Sullivan was breaking through in the last 3 or 4 years, where was he sitting in comparison to those boys?
Mark, and for me, right up there. Do you know, because Tom has the speed and the and similar kind of size. But you can only put Tom on a certain probably type of player. And you can put Jason on a different type of player. That's why the Dan Donahue move this year for Kerry was interesting, because he's kind of an in-between the two in terms of physicality. Yeah, he's been missing for a while. He might come back for the league final. But yeah, he's right up there. Shane Enright was a bit like Dan Donahue. He was probably 5'11", kind of stocky, strong, but quick. So he was a brilliant player as well. And Mark Shea was just a reader of the game, where he'd mark you from the front. And unless it was a worldie of a pass, you weren't getting many balls. Except for Brogan, used to have outrageous balls.
Yeah. He'd be who could sell the more dummies, the most dummies in the game. So that's interesting. So, Paddy, what way are you calling that, Kerry Mayo?
Probably tight. Like Mayo, what Mayo won't, they won't take any risks with any players. They're out in 3 weeks against Galway, so. That's what I could see. If anyone has a semblance of a knock, they're not going to be risked. So Dermot O'Connor's probably not going to play. Killian O'Connor's not going to be back. I think Kerry have probably been the most consistent team over the National League. And for that, I think they'll probably nick it. But I think it's going to be very close. But the only thing, I'm just hoping James Horan puts out the best team he can. I don't expect Dermot O'Connor to be playing, but everyone else I would expect to be in the mix.
Does he even know his best team?
Yeah. Even on Instagram wants to know, do you think Aidan O'Shea will start for Mayo this week?
Yeah.
He played 11 the weekend. He played 6 the week before, and he played 11 the week before that. He'd probably play 11. He played well against Kerry and Tralee, to be fair.
I think he'd play, yeah.
It's a good question. Does he know his best team? So many options, so many players have kind of come out of the woodwork there, you know. There's a good depth there in Mayo.
Yeah, looking back now, they have had a good league because they've got so many players in. And they risked, like, whether they made the final or not, I don't think would have bothered James Horan, as we said last week. Like, I don't think he would have lost any sleep if they lost out in the final. But again, like we said, there's a couple of games that you just get so much information out of, and this is one.
Yeah.
He has to go at it with his best team.
A couple of questions on the coming in from the Football Pod GA Instagram page. Feel free to send them in or tweet them in every week. Daryl Flynn wants to know, will teams take the Tailteann Cup seriously? So just to give you the run of play and explain it to you, unless one of the counties who are now in Division 3 or Division 4 for 2023 make it to their provincial finals, they will be competing in the Tailteann Cup. That will be their All-Ireland this year. So the 16 teams at the moment are Offaly, Down, Antrim, Westmeath, Fermanagh, Longford, Laois, Wicklow, Cavan, Tipperary, Sligo, Leitrim, London, Wexford, Carlow, Waterford, New York. So, you know, we heard John Mahon say how it's going to be a huge chance for the young Offaly lads now. They're going to make the most of it, that he had got serious momentum out of it before back in the 90s. Paddy, we had Rory Gallagher on the pod back in October talking about the benefits that Fermanagh got out of it running the B All-Ireland back in the day. This is the Tailteann Cup. Hopefully it's a new era of that. There's loads of conversations that we had around coverage and, you know, the amount of airtime it's going to get when they're up against Division 1 games and hurling games. So that's a conversation for another day, but do you think teams will take the Tailteann Cup seriously? Those counties that I've listed out. I'm finding it difficult to pick a winner there. There's a lot of competition.
Me? I think they will. And I think the scheduling is a positive for it, that normally the National League finishes now and you could be waiting 2 months for the championship game and you could get a bad beating in the first round and then you're waiting another 3 or 4 weeks for a qualifier to kick in. And I don't care who you are as players, that is hard to stay motivated and stay at it.
Stay in the country
is a big thing as well. But the fact that it's a lot more condensed, you're rolling from, like I said, the league finishing now straight into that. It's the first iteration of it. I think it will get coverage purely because it's just a new thing alone that people are going to be intrigued as to how this pans out. But I expect teams to take it seriously, yeah. I hope they do.
Yeah.
I hope they do.
Likewise. James, you same boat?
Yeah, I think they definitely will.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Once you're in a competition, you want to win it. And especially Absolutely. Those players, you're playing for your county, championship match. I think it's going to be brilliant for them. Like a lot of players, their season would now realistically be over. They'd be going into a game in the championship, in the Ulster Championship or the Leinster Championship against a strong team. They'd be going in with no confidence because they're against the Division One team. They'd be knocked out. That would be it. You know, now they have a chance of actually going on a run and winning something. So I think it'll be a big success.
A good few comments in. So I'm going to run through a few here. Stop me if you want, but I'm going to run through a couple first. Sean McBreen, will Dublin be using Croke Park next year for Division Two games? It's an interesting question. I don't actually know. Seamus, the Rossies have been listening, Paddy. Roscommon promoted and the Dubs relegated. What does Paddy Andrews think of that? Well, we told you. Mark Leonard, will Conor Callan make enough of a difference to the Dubs for them to be considered contenders? We've spoken about that. The Dubs haven't gone away, lads. Pete Fitzpatrick, for those who say Monaghan are a one-man team, i.e. Conor McManus, that win was massive for the county. Shane Manton, great display by McCarron. Shane Barry, highlight of the weekend, Gary Moan's mullet. Owen Quinn, what's the lads' thoughts on the Ulster Championship? It's obviously going to be very difficult to pick a winner from that, as we have already mentioned.
That CCC hearing is going to have an impact on that, isn't it?
Massive.
I mean, huge. For a man, yeah, like Donegal have six lads suspended, Michael Murphy, McBrearty.
If you get the wrong one suspended, like you lose that game, you're under pressure.
I'm intrigued to see that chat. You probably have, yeah, Tyrone as favourites for it. Then you're looking at, like, Monaghan and Donegal are probably the more traditional teams over the last decade, which have Derry and Armagh coming, that they can beat anyone of those teams. Like, there's no real standout team. It's gonna be very good to watch the Ulster Championship, as it always is, to be fair.
Keane Hoey, does Mickey Hart with back-to-back promotions silence the critics? I don't know if there's been that many critics of Mickey Hart. He's been involved in the game so long that you're going to have people, you know, having bits to say about him.
The McCurry thing is interesting.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Come on, because we had Conor McKenna on last year as well after their All-Ireland success, and there was a kind of a similar response to the environment that towards the end of Mickey Hart's time that the players were kind of a bit fed up with it. There was definitely calls in the media and from ex-Tyrone players. There was a sense that his time had come with that team. It was time for something new and something fresh. And look, they were proving right. They bring in a new management team, and they end up winning the All-Ireland out of really nowhere. But for Mickey Hart, the legacy he has in the GAA, what he did with Tyrone initially, and he's just shown he's gone into Tyrone and done an incredible job. So I don't think, okay, maybe his time with Tyrone was at an end, but that doesn't mean he was a bad coach or anything like that. Everyone knows he's not. And he's shown, got into Loud, and he's done massive things. Like I say, the only team going in the right direction in Leinster is Loud. Yeah. And a lot of that is down to their work with Mickey Hart and stuff.
I think it would have been a fair question to ask when you're hearing things like that. Did Mickey Hart perhaps lose the ability to connect with that younger generation or that younger generation of Tyrone footballer? But now you're seeing he's clearly getting a tune out of this Loud team, like, you know?
The respect he has everywhere is insane. We played a championship qualifier against Tyrone in Killarney in 2012.
Well, yeah.
It was the most unbelievable atmosphere in Killarney I've ever been at. It was really? Just savage. And half the stadium nearly stayed back and applauded Mickey Hart. It was just nice to see. And he's a legend. He is a legend. You know, everyone's time comes to an end with a certain team. It goes stale. Your voice doesn't work. You know, you might fall out with a couple of players who have a big say in the dressing room, have to go then. You know, your time is just done. And that's probably what happened in Tyrone. You can't say that he wasn't a great coach or that the boys weren't great players under him. It just didn't fit at the end. He's moved on. He's doing a great job.
Yeah, yeah. One of my favorite GA books is one of Mickey's first, Knocking on Heaven's Door. It's from back around 03, 04, 05. I haven't read many others, but I know he's had a couple, but that was just such a good book on the early days of that Tyrone journey from not winning in All-Ireland to where they got to. Couple more comments coming in. Monaghan for Sam. It's coming out of Shane Hannon, a fellow off the ball.
It's wide open. Colleague. Why not?
As we said,
everyone's in the mix.
It is wide open.
10 teams in the mix.
Darren has got in touch and said, now, I don't think I took it in well enough. We were told it was a worldie at the weekend. David Clifford's score, he has to be talked about at length again this week. Was it as good?
Talked about him enough. What I'll say, when he kicked it, because I was watching on the highlights. I was like, he skied that. That's gone about 100 yards wide. It's going to land in JM Reedy's there. And it goes off camera and then it just comes back around. Beautiful. It was unbelievable. But you're like, that's, again, we said it last week. Every week, you're going to have Clifford do something on the pitch that is just extraordinary in the eyes of us. But to him, that is his standard.
Yeah.
It's normal for him.
Owen Horgan, Limerick versus Dublin next year in Division 2. Limerick Rides has gone very under the radar. Joseph Farley, shocked to see our man involved in yet another row.
Tongue in cheek on that one, I'd say, is it?
It may be. Dublin only have said the Dubs didn't deserve to stay up. The last two games inspired confidence, but we faded again today. Could I ask you a question, Paddy? The comeback that we saw, they were 7 points down. They got it back to the draw with that Dean Rock penalty. They actually had a chance to go a point in front. Would the comeback have papered over cracks?
Yeah.
If they'd pulled
they would have got out of it anyway. Obviously, if it was a draw, Kildare would have stayed up. But the fundamental issues we touched on earlier in this episode, defensively, there's an area Dublin really the focus on. I think their game management, they're kind of, when they're defending, the decisions they're making, like say clutch moments in big games, we've seen it in Newbridge as well, a couple of tight games where Dublin for years were the absolute best at that. The right decision was made all the time. I think they can improve on that. And offensively as well, there's definitely been improvements offensively for them over the last couple of weeks. A lot more decisiveness, a lot more speed, a lot more energy in their play, a lot more direct. But a draw yesterday or nicking the results, the underlying issues that we've seen over the past 2.5 months are still there and will need to be addressed. Whether they snuck out of, got out of jail free card in Clonus yesterday or not, those issues, if Dublin are going to try and win the All-Ireland, they need to be addressed.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much for all those comments that you've sent into the Football Pod this week. There's loads there. I have a notes folder on my phone with a lot of rolling comments that I've been keeping track of. So there's others that I'm going to get back to from a couple of weeks ago when there's a bit of a down week, but there was so much action this weekend. We could only kind of rattle through a few of them quick fire. Now to Paddy Andrews' favorite time of the week. It's fantasy Gaelic football time. And I just
log
have
off
to,
here, lads.
Paddy, don't go. Paddy, don't go. I've got some good news for you. Somehow, Paddy Andrews got the best score of the three of us this week.
That's just the whole thing is flawed.
Carl, who runs the page, met me earlier on. He said, what a laugh. Andrews, 186 points. So you've broken the 1,000 mark. You're into 1,040. And I'm just going to have a look at your team here. Just to give you a little run through your tactics this week. Tactical mastermind, Paddy Andrews. We always knew that there was a manager in there. I can't
believe it. I was thinking of it there in Drew's Glen yesterday.
Yeah, you really were, weren't you?
The Cavan boys cleaned up this week, did they?
The Cavan boys cleaned up.
Kernan knocked out 25 points, I'd say.
Yeah.
Who's your coach, Jimmy? You have Jacko and Charles, yeah?
I had Jack, yeah.
I put,
well, he got 2 points this week.
I changed it to Joyce.
Bring him up there.
Last week. So I lost it. So, Paddy's Wolves. Rory Began and goals got you 3 points. Donald Keoghan, Owen Bon Gallagher, Sean Kelly, Paddy Durkin. Not much return there from your four backs, but McGeary gave you 19 points. Gavin White came off the bench and kicked the points. So you got 9 points.
Is McGeary back?
McGeary's a back. You didn't get much return out of midfield. Fenton and Tierney, 6 points between them. But in your forwards, wow.
Tierney didn't even play. Half these lads haven't even played on Sunday.
Shane McGuigan, 25 points. Michael Murphy, 17 points. Rain O'Neill, 12 points.
Jesus.
Darren McCurry, 29 points. The Cliff, David Clifford, 16. And Cormac Costello, your captain, got you 32 points. So we were giving you a bit of slagging last week. We didn't think you'd get over the 1,000-point mark. But
never in doubt, lads. Never in doubt. Never right off the Dubs.
You're 89th out of 120 entries this year into the Football Pod.
Take that. That's solid.
I'm 64th. Johnny Heaney was my top scorer this week. With 21 points. I had him in defence. He got a goal. I thought I had Aidan.
Great Reed. Goal, actually. Yeah. But
great goal, yeah.
Dreamer, Tony Uboa.
Donoghue, where are you? You're in 37th. You had another decent week. 1,290 points. Clifford was your captain. Tony Brosnan. I have a feeling Jack O'Connor and yourself had a word before the game.
Let Tony Brosnan. I had Tony last week as well.
Let Tony Brosnan take the penalty if one comes up today.
He got 2 goals yesterday. Sorry, yeah.
He did. He got impressive. Two goals and one lovely point as well.
Yeah, and you had Johnny Heaney as well. So Brosnan had 2-1. Yeah, that's
there was a couple of cheat codes in there, like Heaney in the backs, McGeary in the backs. There was Nugent. One of the others I saw.
Nugent in the backs. He was a good shout early on. I had him from early on. Yeah, a couple of cheat codes. And it's all warming us up for the championship game. So for anyone listening, you've got to re-register for the championship game. So right. It's a different game.
Can I set up my own
altogether.
Username and password?
Yeah, time. Exactly, Paddy. And we'll take it. You can put a bit more thought and effort into it. Like, but you've done pretty well for somebody who hasn't taken that much of a keen eye on it. So
well, just announce me as the winner of the three of us.
Well,
an official announcement for Twitter. This is look. Well, no, Jimmy. Well, hold on. Is the league finals obviously count, or is
the
that
league
it?
Finals? The league finals count, yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to catch it.
I'll get out of my team. Yeah. So
how many substitutions do we have?
No transfers left. You're left with the same team that you picked last week, lads. There's only a certain amount of transfer windows. You have to read the rules. So we now have promised prizes for the top three in the Football Pod GA League. So at the minute, the top three have changed once more. Connor Noonan, his name of his team is All Out Attack, Carberry County Kildare, 296 points at the weekend.
Jeez.
What on earth? Aidan Nugent, 47 points. Gerald McKiernan was his captain, 50 points. He had two goal with Bucks and Paul Conroy and Shane Walsh. They didn't even play, but will be playing this weekend. Stephen Sherlock, 33 points. John Heslin, 25 points. Sam Mulroy, 25 points. I see what you're doing here. Connor Sweeney, 9 points. Jared Smith from Cavan got him 16 in defence as well. And Ray McGalligan in goals kicked him 30 points.
He went to Division 4 heavy.
He did, didn't he? Yeah, yeah.
So Connor, way to go about it.
Connor, you've taken the lead, but I don't know how much you're going to get at the weekend now in the final. Carl Killen is behind you. And he has taken a similar approach. He had Niall Murphy and Keith Byrne from Division 4 in his forward line. So you may not get caught, actually, this week. Daryl Connor could come from nowhere. There was Common Man, Kilbride. He's got Clifford in there. It's going to be hard to tell. Anyways, we'll be announcing the winners next week on the Football Pod on Episode 11 after the league finals. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, it's been brilliant once more. It's been great spending time with you this evening. I think the sun has just gone down as we finish recording. We'll be back with everyone next Tuesday on the Football Pod. Hit subscribe wherever you're listening. The best place to get the pod every week, just search for the Football Pod, and we have our own little feed there on all the podcast apps. We have been having some issues recently. We've undergone a change in the background and off the ball. So a couple of the Android apps like Podbean and Pocket Cast, they aren't collecting the podcast yet, but you will get it. Anywhere else that you can get podcasts. So apologies for any inconvenience there. Any last words, boys, before we wrap it up?
Are you going to the games this weekend? Are you going to Croke Park?
Potentially going Saturday.
I'd like to pop the old head in now.
It's my birthday.
I think both games on Sunday will be very good.
I have a game Sunday.
Do you know how much the flight is, Kerry, to Dublin now?
No, from Farnforth. No, what would it be?
40 return.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah. But the flight home
first class as well, like.
First class Ryanair, yeah, is in with the luggage.
40 return.
It's 40 return. Gig, but
I'm in Tralee myself on Friday for a gig. Oh, yeah? Yeah. Down playing a bit of golf.
Super value?
The crowd? There's a fundraising thing on. I'm giving a few quid to Kerry, like.
is it a Kerry J golf outing, is it?
It's a club. One of those districts.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure which one. St. Brendan's, maybe, is it?
That's it. Deb. Yeah.
Yeah, they beat us in the championship 3 years in the track.
Oh, I won't get to watch that. I'll cut their donation in half. Mandy's coming down with me, so we're going to play a bit of golf. Go for you, Kerry.
That's a gorgeous course in Tralee, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
I'm hoping the weather's like this, though.
I'll
be down there, and then I'd hope to get into... I'd say I'll be in a Croker on Sunday, yeah?
Have you ever taken the plane from Kerry to Dublin, James?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh, do you?
Well, it used to be probably 120, but it's down to 40 euro. Like,
when you get into the airport, is it like normal to get there an hour before security, all that kind of thing? Just rock in and get on.
Shannon's like that as well. Shannon, you don't have to go that early for Shannon. Like,
yeah, no, Kerry's handy enough. Like, sometimes the lads there that are working, they nearly be putting something into your bag when you're going through the metal detector just to catch you out, like, rather than actually be too worried about what's
there. You have it, folks. For your commute this week, check out Kerry Airport Fares. That's unbelievable.
On Friday,
I got to
I got the train up to Dublin last week and it put me at 70 quid, but that wasn't the worst part. The worst part was that I missed my stop at Limerick Junction. I ended up in bloody Mallow and had to sit there in the cold for an hour waiting for a train back to Limerick Junction.
Beautiful.
I didn't get out. Didn't get out to see it.
Beautiful.
Right. That's episode 10 of the Football Pod. Thanks for joining us this week, boys. Thank you very much for your time.
Cheers. Magic stuff, lads. Good night.